Begin the current daf, starts Baba Kama daf lamadal. Begin 6 lines down from the top of the Amud. But the Gemara continues with another brisa relating to the discussions of the previous daf. That is, the discussions began on the Mishnah on the previous daf in Amud Aleph, where the Gemara explained that the halacha of our Mishnah is going like Rabbi Kiva in this machlik is Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Shmuel. The machlik is related to the concept that we know by Shur Tam, the nizik, the damaged party, collects migufa. He could only collect the chatzi nizik, the half of the amount of damages which was incurred by him, by his animal being damaged, from the animal itself in the mazik, not from the owner of that animal's bank accounts. He could only go ahead and collect from the animal itself. Now the machlekes was that Rabbi Kiva holds, which was the halacha of our Mishnah, that actually gets directly transferred, that as if it's a partner, the nizik is like a partner in the mazik right now, in that charge, we have to collect half of his damages. Whereas Rabbi Shmuel said that, no, he's not a partner. Yes, the shibudim, he has a lien on that animal, he could ultimately collect from there, but he's not actually a partner. And that's what was the discussions in previous stuff, the ramifications and the different questions relating to those two opinions. Now, to continue on these halachas, the Gemara says, Tana Rabbanan, learn the braisa. Shur shava mesayim, shenogach shur shava mesayim. So you have two equal priced shvarim, both equal to 200, and one gores the other. V'chavol boy b'chamishim zuz, and then he injured him for the value of 50 zuz. But the shavach, actually, the damaged ox actually went up in price. V'amar al arba meyazuz, and now it's actually worth not just 200, which went down because of the injury to 50 less, it actually shot up now after the injury to be worth a value of 400 zuz. So says the Braisa, since the damaged party could tell to the mazik, wait a second, oh, you're saying you don't even owe me money? To the contrary, I'm actually worth more now as a damaged ox, more than I was before you damaged me? No. Shel moli lo hezekai, were it not for you, the mazik, having damaged me, I would have been worth 800 zuz, so don't tell me you didn't injure me. Oh, you were worth 200, what, you went down to 150? You're worth 400, now you're worth even more. I don't owe you anything. It's not true. If you wouldn't have injured me, I wouldn't have been worth just 400 as an injured party. I would have been worth 800 zuz. So therefore, the halacha says the braisa, noisin, the mazik has to give to the nizik 25 zuzin, keshas hanezik, which was the amount of the damage cut in half. In other words, the mazik can't tell the nizik, what I make you lose? You were actually worth more now that you damaged him before the damage, is because the nizik could tell him, wait a second, if you hadn't damaged me, I would have been gone up even more and been worth 800. So obviously the fact that the price increase is nothing, I don't owe you any thanks. Actually, you made me lose going up to 800. So let's keep it as it is, as it always is. You got to pay me chatzi nezik, which was it went down from 200 to 150. So therefore, there's a difference of 50. That's the nezik. And half of that is what the Tam has to pay, which is going to be 25. That's if the animal went up after it got damaged. Now the Braisa says, let's say kochash. If the damaged ox, actually because of the wound from the mazik, went down in value. Now, actually, from the time of when he got injured all the way till when the court case happens, we see that he actually depreciated a lot more. Says the Braisa, now he has to give, the mazik has to pay for the depreciation of the value of the nizik, of the damaged ox, kishasamad bedin. How much its value has been depreciated, not just from when they got injured, but actually now when the court case is happening, whereas the Gemara later on will explain, the reason for that is because, and the word that the Gemara uses is karna deturach kavirbe. Literally means to say that the horn of your ox is still buried in my ox. So yeah, it keeps on depreciating. It's not really stuck in there, but it means to say the reason why it kept on depreciating is all due to the original injury, and that's why we don't just assess it about how much it went down during the time of the injury, but even all the way up until when the court case actually happens. So that's regarding if the nevela, the nizik, the damaged party goes up or goes down. Now the Braisa says, shavach mazik. Let's say the goring ox goes up in value. And although at the time when it gored that ox, it was worth only 200, now it's worth 400. Says the Braisa, noisenloi, the owner of the mazik, has to give to the nizik only 25 zuz, kishasa nezik, as it was at the time of the damage. In other words, what the chiddush of this is saying is that the nizik, the damaged party, cannot tell the mazik, wait a second, you have to give me an eighth of your animal. Because if one considers it, as we said before, what was the Chatzi Nezik? It was from 200, went down to 150, which the damage was 50. Half of the damage is 25. So essentially, the Mazik owes the Nezik 25. Now, he could only collect from the Guf, Megufai, from the Mazik itself. Now, when one takes 200 divided by 25, then you get an eighth. So essentially, the owner of the Mazik has to give an eighth of his animal to pay up the Nezik for the damage. So what one would entertain to say is that the Nizik could tell the Mazik, wait a second, now that the animal went up in price since this Hezik happened, that an eighth of the animal was owned by me. And therefore, now that it shot up to 400, you have to give me double, because now it was my share. I have an eighth of a share of the animal that went up. You have to give me now double. And that is what the Tan of the Brice is saying, that no, he doesn't give him according to, he doesn't have a share in the animal, he doesn't own the animal, as we said, like according to Bishmal in the previous daf. He just owes it to him, and yes, he can then collect as a lien on the animal, but he doesn't have any shares, and therefore he only gets 25, not 50 zuz. That's if the mazik went up in price. Kachash, if let's say it actually went down in value, so then kishas amada bedin, then he only gives him an eighth of how much he's worth now. So although he was supposed to get 25 zuz, that was if it was worth 200. Now if he goes down to 100, he only gets 12 and a half zuz, because it was actually in the domain of the nizik that it went down the value, which the Gemara Shulda is going to ask. That seems to just contradict what we said before. We just said before that it's the nizik has no rights in it. He has no shares. Therefore, if it goes up, he's not going to gain. Now you're saying that if it goes down, that yeah, he does lose, and the mazik only has to give him how much it's worth now at the court case. That sounds like the nizik does have shares. So that's similarly contradictory, which the Gemara is going to address right now. Amamar. The Gemara comes to explain the Braisa. The master, the Tana of the Braisa said, Shavach Mazik, if the Mazik, the oxide cord, goes up in value. So you said, Nisen Kishasa Nezik, he only gives according to the time of how much it was at the damage. Doesn't give it how much more, an eighth that went up in value. So says the Gemara, Mani, who's that going like? So Rabbi Shmuel, it's going like Rabbi Shmuel, the Amma that we said in the previous daf, Baal Chayvu, that the Nizik is just a creditor. The Zuzihu Damasically is just collecting money, but he doesn't have any shares. He's not a shutif. He doesn't have stocks in it to say that if it goes up in value, his value goes up to what he's going to get compensated to. So essentially, you're saying that the Shair Hamazik was always in the shush of the Mazik up until the court case. Now, that the question is, Ema Seifa, but then look at the next case right after that. We said that if Kachash, if the Shair Hamazik went down the value from the time of the Hezik to the time of the court case, Kashasim Adabedin, so then the Mazik only has to pay him an eighth of what the value is right now, even though it's lower. So that the Gemara says, Asoran Rabbi Kiva, that sounds like Rabbi Kiva, the Amar Shud Fininu, that said that it's not just the Mazik that loses now that it went down the value, the Nizik is an equal partner for his Chatzi Nezik in the Shair Hamazik. So the difficulty is, Reish Rabbi Shmuel, B'Seif Rabbi Kiva. The first halacha is Rabbi Shmuel, and the second halacha sounds like Rabbi Kiva. So the Gemara says, like, no. Kula Rabbi Kiva. Really, the Brice is going like Rabbi Kiva, that actually it is in the Rishus of the Nizik. The Nizik has shares, he's a Shutiv, he's a partner in the ox itself, in the Shair HaMazik. Now, B'Hach Ma'eskin, but here what are we talking about? Why do we say that if it goes up in value, then he doesn't get an eighth? Why not? He has shares. It's Kisha Pitmoy. Explains the Gemara is because... It's because, why to go up in value? Because the Mazik, the owner of the Shair Tam, he fattened, he stuffed up the ox, which is what increased in value. It's because he shelled out of his pocket. He lost money to spend on increasing the value of his Shair. That's why the Nizik doesn't take any shares in it. It's not that the value of the ox just went up. If it was just an automatic increase in value, so of course he's a shutif. But it's because he was increasing, the mazik was increasing, he was spending money, that increase in value is all due to his input. That's why the nizik doesn't have, although he's a shutif, rights in that increase in value. Now the Gemara says, I mean, whereas again, if it goes down, that wasn't that he did anything to make it go down. Therefore, the loss, the nizik will share in that loss. Now the Gemara asks, Ikish Epitmo, if you tell me the case that we're discussing over here, which again, we spoke about two different cases, one regarding the Shair HaNizik going up and down the value, and one about the Shair HaMazik going up and down the value. Now, if you're describing the case of going up in value regarding the Shair HaMazik, is Kish HaPitmo, because the Mazik himself had stuffed it, had fattened it himself. Well, the name of Reisha. Let's go to the beginning of the Braisa, which was talking about the Shair HaNizik going up and down the value. So he said that Shavach, if the Shair HaNizik went up in value after the injury, V'amad al dad me'ezuz, and now actually, although he's a damaged party, and he seemingly went down from 200 to 150, actually shot up to being worth 400 zuz, So in spite of that, the Braisa said, Noisen lekashas nezig, still the mazik has to give to him only how much it was at the time of the damage, meaning to say that he has to give that whatever the chatzin nezik was, and that the mazik can't tell him, wait a second, what did I make you lose? You actually are more valuable than you were when I had injured you. That the Braisa, as we explained, says, because no, the Nizik could tell him, wait a second, not for you damaging me, I wouldn't have been just 400, I would have been 800, so you did make me lose, you still have to pay the 50 that you had depreciated me, and half of that, which is 25 zuz. That's what the Braisa said. Now that asked the Gemara, if you're explaining these cases of increase in value, is when the owner, whoever it is, whether it be the Mazik on Hishar and Mazik, or the Nizik in Hishar and Nizik, is what made it increase in value. So if it's talking about in this ratio, parallel to the case of the Seifa of the Shara Mazik, where the Nizik went and fattened up his ox, so Tzricha L'meimah, do you have to say that the Mazik has to compensate the Nizik for how much he had damaged him at the time of the damage? And that what? As we said, the Chiddush is that he can't say, what did I make you lose? What do you mean? Of course he made him lose. What, the fact that he went up to 400 zuz? He only went up to 400 zuz because the Nizik spent money on it. He fattened it up. So of course, what do you mean? You didn't. Of course, you made him lose. I actually had to invest more money. I had to cover my tracks. I didn't want the animal to lose so much value, so he stuffed it up. But that has nothing to do with the mazik. If it would have happened by itself, then he could say, "Look, you know, look at. I didn't make you lose. It went up by itself, but it didn't. It's because I fattened it. If I fattened it, then how do we understand the price? So why is it saying because that I didn't make you lose anything? What do you mean? Of course, you made me lose. The reason why I went up was because of my own investments. That's what the nizik could tell the mazik." So the Gemara says, I'm not a puppet, so it's not difficulty. Reisha, that we just described regarding the Shah HaNizik, you're right. Mishkachas law, that halacha would apply, bein the Fatma Pitumi, whether the Nizik, the reason why I went up in value is because he stuffed it up, which, and we need that to be an option too, because to be parallel to the case of Seifa, which again we're explaining is only possible by Pitumi, because or else then the Nizik would shear in the rights of the Shah HaMazik. But it's also bein d'shiv chomer eila. It's also halacha that would apply even if it happens by itself. And you're right, v'itzuch lashmina dehecha d'shiv chomer eila. And what was the primary chiddush of the case of the reisha, of the shara nizik going up in value? What's when it goes up in value by itself? And still, that was the chiddush of the price. That nice and l'kashas and nezik, that still the mazik has to pay him for the depreciation that was at the time of the damage. And the chiddush, as we had said, was that the mazik can't tell him, oh, what did I make you lose? Look, Hashem made it anyways go up to 400. Now again, for the case of the Reisha, we didn't have to tell you the case of when he stuffs it up himself, of course. It's just because of the case of Shavach Memela that we had to tell you that for. Now, but Seifa lemishkachas la ilikesh apitma. But the case of the Seifa, the halacha, you're right, would only apply that if the mazik was what fattened it up and stuffed it up, that is why the mazik's only going to get that those increase in the shares and not the nizik, although he does have a share in it. As we see, when it goes down, he loses. When it goes up, since he's the one that did it, it goes up. It's only to him. But again, the ratio could also be by case of pitum, but it also is by the case of Shevach Memela, and that's actually the primary chiddush of the case of the Reisha, because, of course, if he had stuffed it in Nizik, how could the Mazik tell him, hello, I didn't make you lose, what are you talking about? It only went in value because I increased it. Now the Gemara goes back again to the case of the Reisha, which was talking about when there's the increase and decrease in the value of the Shar HaNizik. So the Braisa said, Kochash, if the Shar HaNizik, the one that got injured, goes down in value, from the time of the injury up until when the court case happens. So the Braisa said, Kishas hamod bedin. So then the mazik actually only has to pay him according to, he has to actually pay him more, not just at the time of the damage. Let's say it was an ox worth 200. It got gored, it was now worth only 150. By the time the court case rolls around, this ox, since the injury has been deteriorating, it's only worth 100 now. So the Braisa, he doesn't have to pay chatzin ezek only on 50, he has to pay chatzin ezek on the 100 that it depreciated. So the Gemara wonders to explain this halacha. Kachesh machmas mai. For what reason, the court case could take a few months, or whatever it is that it takes, why did it depreciate in value since the time of the injury? And that is, ilem the kachesh machmas malacha, if you're going to tell me that it depreciated in value because it's been worked, that is, although it was damaged, it was injured, but it's still able to do the work it was supposed to be doing, and when the animal works, it gets wear and tear. So why are you telling me the mazik has to compensate for that? Leima leila the mazik tell him, at makhashas v'ano yehivna, you're going to depreciate the value because you're working it. I should compensate for that. Why should he have to pay for that? It's not part of his damages. So why is it that we say that he doesn't have to pay just for the hachatzin nezik of the time of the damage, but even what it's up to till the court case? So the Gemara explains, the Rav Ashi says, no, it's actually the kachash machmas maka. The reason why he has to pay the value that it lost all the way up until the court case is the reason why it's been depreciating is all due to its original injury to its wound. Because the Amalek, as the Nizik tells him, which the literal words mean, to say, Karna de Turach Kavirbe, the horn of your ox is still buried in my ox that got the injury. In other words, what it means to say is it's still suffering from that injury, and that's why it's been depreciating a value. That is what the requirement is for the Mazik to compensate. For the Nizik, it's all due to the injury, but of course, if it was due to some external source, then the Mazik wouldn't have to pay, because it has nothing to do with his injury. Now the Gemara continues with the next Mishnah, again continuing a theme of the previous Mishnah, is regarding how to evaluate damages done from one ox to another one. So the Mishnah says, Shur Shava Masayim, an ox that was worth 200, Shanagach Shur Shava Masayim, that gored another ox worth 200. Now Ve'ein HaNaveli Yafaklum, and the dead animal carcass, the one that was injured, is not worth a penny, it's not worth anything. So it's zero value. Amar Meir, Meir says, Al Zeh Namar. It was regarding such a case that the Pasuk in Shemayis was referring to when it talks about the halacha of Asher Tam, that it says, U'machor es Asher Achai. What you do is, you sell half, you sell the living ox, meaning the Asher HaMazik, v'chatzu es kaspei, and you divide the money, because that's actually Chatzi Nezek. In other words, if you want to figure out, sometimes the Pasuk, the Pesukim, the Torah, writes in a certain way, and then you could extrapolate what the halacha would be in all different types of scenarios. Says Rameh, if you want to know the exact prototype that the Torah talks about, it's this type of a case. Two oxen worth the same amount. The one that was injured is not worth anything, which means to say the damage was 200. Chatzin Nezik is therefore 100. And the living one is 200. You sell the living one. Now they split it. So that's going to be a payment of Chatzin Nezik. That's exactly the case that the Torah is talking about when it wanted to tell you the halacha of Chatzin Nezik of Asher Tam. On that, Rehuda says to Rameh, says, look, b'chein halacha, definitely the case that you just described is the appropriate halacha, that he has to give him 100, which is chatzi nezik. Now, but, says Rabbi Yehuda Tremeir, that is not the case, the prototype of the shur hamazik of Tam that the Torah is talking about. And he says, you know why? Because kiyamto umachres ha-shur ha-chai v'chatzu es kaspei. You're right, you explained very nicely the way you described the case, that one pasuk of what you would be doing is that you'd be selling the live ox, and then you'd be splitting the money. Problem is, there's another pasuk. And v'loy kiyamta, but you're not fulfilling v'gamas emes yechatzun. There's another pasuk that says, and also the dead animal, the shur ha-nizik, they also split that. That you're not explaining. The case you're describing is not worth anything. But the Torah talks about a halacha that you split that too. And that's split between the mazik and the nizik. How are you going to explain that pasuk the way you're describing the prototypical case of the Torah? Now the Gemara will explain exactly what is the difference, what are they actually disagreeing about. Similarly, they both agree to the halacha of chatzi nezik, but that's what Rabbi Yehuda says, and he says, Ve'ezis. He says, so what is the case that the Torah is talking about? He says as follows. He says, it's a case of Zesh Shur Shava Masayim. It's an ox that worth 200. Same start, Shenogach Shur Shav Masayim. That gores an ox also worth 200. But Vanavelu Yofa Chamishim Zuz. The dead animal is actually worth 50 Zuz. Now, which comes out that the damage that was done to the Nizik was for a value of 150, 200. Minus what's it still worth is 50. So it was a damage of 150. Now, that means to say that Chatzi Nezik, which is what the halacha is by Asher Tam, is going to be 75. That's how much the Nezik has to lose, because he only gets half of the damage is compensated. So on that is what the Torah is telling us. These two psukim, Shezeh noitel Chatzi ha-chai v'chatzi ha-meis, the Mazik takes half the live one and half the dead one, v'zeh noitel Chatzi ha-chai v'chatzi ha-meis, and the Nezik also takes half the live one and half the dead one. Now that'll come out to be the appropriate amount, because that will come out for a total of each one getting 125. Because the live one is worth 200. They split it, he gets 100, he gets 100. The dead ones is the one that was injured is only worth 50, he gets 25, he gets 25. Comes out that each one is losing 75 from the original 200 that it was worth for each one of their oxen. Now, as we said, the Hezek was 150, because it was originally worth 200, went down to 50. That means to say, Chatzin Hezek is 75, and you're supposed to lose 75. That's exactly what's coming out in this case that's being described. That's the case that Torah was talking about, where you're going to be splitting the live one and the dead one, and ultimately that will equal to the value of the Chatzin Hezek that the Nezek was injured, that had a loss for. Now, the Gemara explains in greater detail this machlekes Reb Meir and Reb Yehuda. Turn up on Linda Brisa, starts off like the cases that were described in our Mishnah. Shershav Messiah, an ox that's worth 200. Shenogach Shershav Messiah, the gore's an ox worth 200. Fanavela Yafa Chamish Mizuz, and the dead animal's worth 50 Zuz. So, Zenoy Tilchatze Achai Vachatze Ames. So, this one, we're talking about the Mazig and the Nizik, one takes half the live one and half the dead one, meaning they sell it and they split the profits. Vizenoy Tilchatze Achai Vachatze Ames, and this one also takes half the live one, half the dead one. Vizero Sharham Batayr, and that's the ox that's written in the Torah. Divrei Behuda, as we explained, because the Torah tells us you split the live one, and then there's another person that says you split the dead one. How would that fit into the Halach of Chatze Nizik? Exactly the way we just described it. Now, Rav Meir Aimi disagrees. He says, no, ein zehu shar am batar. That is not the ox, the shar tam that's written in the Torah. Ella, rather the following case, as he said in the Mishnah, shar shav mesayim, an ox that's worth 200. Shenugach l'shar shav mesayim, that gores an ox worth 200. Ve'ein anaveli yofa klom, and that animal is actually not worth anything. Azen ne'amar, it's regarding this that the Pasuk says, u'machor esar shar hachay, v'chat says kasboy. How does the halacha then come out? Very simple. You sell the live animal and you split the profit. Very good. The Nizig lost his whole ox, which is worth 200. That makes the Chatzin Nizig 100. The live one's worth 200. You split it, he gets his 100. That's exactly the case the Torah is talking about. Now he addresses what Rabbi Huda had asked him in the Mishnah. So then how do I explain the pasuk that says, and also the dead one is split? What does that mean? The way I'm describing the case of the Torah, there is no value to the dead one. So that he explains what these words in this pasuk means. Pchas shepchasai misa. The diminishment, the decrease in value that happened because of death, which happened to the nizik, is machzin b'chai, is what you split with the living animal, meaning from the shor hamazik. So when it says v'gamas ames yachatzun, it doesn't mean you're splitting the value of the dead one. It means v'gamas ames, and also what happened to the dead animal is yachatzun is split in the shor hamazik. In other words, you're right. Says Rav Meir, not like Rabbi Huda said, the mazik has nothing to do with the dead animal. That's not the case that Torah talks about, and there's no requirement for the mazik to have to share in the value of the shor hanizik. Rather, what you do is that you evaluate the dead animal. How much money did it lose now from then how much that it was worth when it was still alive? And the mazik gives half of that loss from the value of his shor tam. So therefore, Rav Meir says that pasuk is not a difficult on him. It has actually nothing to do with splitting the value of the nizik. So mazik has nothing to do with dead animal. You could keep your dead animal. I just pay you for the difference of how much the loss was, and I give you half of that, and that's collected from the half of my animal. Now, and again, but the prototypical case that Torah talks about is when the damaged ox was worth nothing, so then he actually gets literally a half. But it's not always half of the shor hamazik. It's the chatzin nizik, which could be collected from the body of the shor hamazik. Now, so the Gemara asks Mechti, let's see. Ben Rav Meir, Ben Rav Yehuda, according to either interpretation, Hai Meir ve'esem mechamisha shakal, the mazik takes 125, v'hai Meir ve'esem mechamisha shakal, and the nizik takes 125. In other words, if let's say you use the case of Rabbi Yehuda where the nevela was worth 50, according to either interpretation, you're going to end up with the same amount, because according to Rav Meir, he says that the nizik, the mazik has nothing to do with the nevela, according to him. You don't split the nizik, the dead animal. So rather the nizik, as is normally the halacha, like by a shor hamud, he has to hold on, he has to be busy with the nevela. So he gets the 50 of the nevela, and moreover, he gets 75 from the living one, because that's the, as we said, the way Rav Meir actually learns of the pasuk, that's the half of the pchas that it lost through the death, which, so the 50 from the nevela that he holds on to his own animal, and the 75 that he gets from the shor hamazik is 125. Now, according to Rabbi Huda also, that he says that the nizik takes half the living one, which is 100, and half the dead one, which is 25, you get the same amount, you get 125. So the Gemara is my benayu. So what actually is the difference in halacha between Rabbi and Rabbi Huda? Who cares how you explain the psukim if there's no halachic relevance? So Amar Rava, Rava says, no, there is a difference. Pchas nevela ike benayu. The difference between them is if it had depreciated in value from the moment that it died up until that it sold. And that is, as the Gemara explains, Rav Meir that says the mazik has nothing to do with the nevela. So savar pchas nevela de nizik hava. So he holds that the depreciation in the value of the dead animal is the loss of the nizik, and therefore the mazik only has to give him half of how much it had lost in value at the moment of death. But up until today, he got a chance to sell it, it already had decreased in value. That's the nizik's loss. That 50 was yours automatically. I have nothing to do with that. The difference, the damage was 150. I give you 75 and that's it. But Rabbi Huda Sava Pchas Nevil the Mazik have a palka. He holds that no, actually, the Mazik, as he learns up the Psukim, they have to split half the live one and half the dead one. So the dead one, which is 50, yes, they, at the time of death, he gets 25 and 25, but up until when it gets sold, then it's, let's say, goes down the value to 20, then half the loss is the Mazik, and half the loss is the Nizik. It's not only the loss of the Nizik. That would be a halachic relevance that comes out from this Machlekes, Remain Rabbi Huda. Now, however, in this interpretation of Rava, the Gemara asks, Amalei Abaye. Abaye says, Im Kain, the way you're describing their machlekes, it comes out, Metzini Rabbi Huda, turns out that according to the opinion of Rabbi Huda, as you described it, as we continue to Amidbeis, Tam, Chomer, Memud. The halachas of Tam, which is usually less severe, because that's why the obligations of the Torah are less, of only Chatzin Ezek, because it's not so common for an ox to gore. If it already did three times the Mu'ud, then it should be more expected. Liability is greater. But it comes out, the way you're describing it, at a time is more stringent than Mu'ud. Why? Because regarding a Shur HaMu'ud, we already said in the first paragraph of Yudim Abayz, that what's called Bailim Metablim B'Nevela, the Nizik has to be busy with his dead animal carcass. Because the Pasuk says, V'amesi Yalai, which we interpreted, that means to say that the Nizik, he has to hold on to his dead animal. And the difference of the loss is what he gets compensated, Chatzin Nizik for a Shur Tam, and Mu'ud Nizik Shalom. But the way you're describing it now, you're saying that when it's a Tam, that he learns up the pasuk, the way you're describing it, is that the mazik shears in the value, and hence the loss, the way you're describing it, in the nizik, that's more severe, the penalty on the mazik, than it is by shar hamud. By shar hamud, it doesn't have to suffer any loss of the shar hanizik. And yet you're describing the case of pchas nevela, that it's not just the nizik, it's also the mazik, that the mazik is worse off here by shar tam than by shar hamud. Now, the Gemara says, and so Abaye continues and says, okay, and v'chite mochinami. And even if you're going to say, you rub it to answer my question, that yes, Biuda holds that Tam is more stringent than Mu'ud, and actually Kedetnan. And that seems to be like a mission that we learned later on, Peg Shosh and Ogach Dal Behei on the Memheim Abayz. That Rabbi Huda, he says, there is a case of Tam being Chayiv. For example, when he did, he was watching his animal, but a very low grade level watching. And then the animal went out in damage. So as a shur tam, the owner is going to be liable, umud potter. And actually, if it's a shur amud, he's actually going to be exempt. So you see, that's not such a difficult thing to say. Rabbi Huda holds that tam is more chamer than mu'ud. And that says, Abaya, no. Eimid ishamad le Rabbi Huda. Where do we find Rabbi Huda saying such a svara? That's le'inyin shmira. That's regarding how you watched and safeguarded your animal, t'chsivi kroy. Where, as the Gemara there explains, it's based on psukim that we to come out that mu'ud's more severe, more stringent than mu'ud. But regarding payment, did we ever find that we're going to be more stringent on the tam than mu'ud, which according to you, that is a stringency we're saying here by tam, more than mu'ud, that the mazik actually has to suffer a loss, meaning to pay more regarding his ownership in the shah nizik? But v'tanya, well, in the Bryce, actually not like that, that you can't say that. That Rabbi Huda does not hold tam as more stringent than mu'ud regarding payment. Because we have a Bryce that Rabbi Huda says the following svara. He says, Yachal, you would think, Shur Shava Mana. There's an ox that's worth 100 zuz. Shenagach that gores a Shur Shava Chamishlam. It gores an ox worth only 5 slum, which is 20 zuz. So the Shur HaMazik is 100 zuz, and the Nizik is only 20 zuz. Now, after it gets gored, Vanevela Yafis Sela, and the dead animal, the carcass, is worth only 4 zuz, a Sela. So says Rabbi Huda, you would think, based on my interpretation of how the halacha of Shur Tam works, which again, as we said, both of them split half the living one, half the dead one. So you would say as follows: Zenoitel Chatzi Achai, that this guy, whichever one, both the Nizik and the Mazik, he takes half the living one, which the value of half the living one is 12.5 sela, and he would collect it because of the payment, which actually his animal, even from the beginning, was only worth 5 sela. But if he would be collecting half of the living one, he would be getting not just payment for how much chatzi nezik is, not even nezik shalom. His nezik shalom is actually only 5 sela. He'd be getting half the living one, which is 12.5 sela. And also he would get the chatzi ameis, he'd get half the dead one, which is a half a sela. And so to bezen, so to the other one would take half the living one, half the dead one. That's how Rabbi Huda says, you would think, you would entertain, based on how I told you how the halacha of Shur Tam works. Because that's what it says in the pasuk, you split the living one, you split the dead one. Now, on that, Rabbi Huda says that no, and that's what we explain in the Amud Aleph, it's a specific type of a case, there's a prototypical case that it's talking about, as we described, when each one's worth 200, we described how the case works out. But in such a case, not always half the living one, half the dead one, because a marita, you would say, wait a second, how can you say this? What is the halacha of mu'ud? That it comes, that an animal morphs from a shor tamei to shor mu'ud. Is it that after it does it three times, that now we're more stringent on it or more lenient on it? Obviously, we're more stringent. He has to pay nezik shalom now. He has to pay menaliyah. Now, says Rabbi Huda, so then, umam mu'ud, if regarding a shor mu'ud, the shor mazik only has to pay how much of damage, not more than the amount of damage. So tam akal kolshkin. So tam, which is more lenient, isn't a kolshkin to say that you can't be paying more than not just chatzin nezik and nezik shalom. The value of the shor nezik started off 5 sela. If you tell me you're going to split half the living one, it can't be you're giving him 12.5 plus another half to give him 13 sela when his shor from the beginning was only worth 5. That's what Rabbi Huda says there in the Braisa. You can't say such a thing. And rather, like we explained in Amud Aleph, this halacha is in a specific type of a case. And then we extrapolate what's the actual concentrate of the halacha itself. But one thing that Abaye wants to prove from this is that obviously Rabbi Huda considers tam more lenient regarding payment in contrast to mu'ud. So therefore, it's a difficult then Rava. How could Rava say this halacha in the interpretation of Rabbi Huda that the mazik shears the loss of the nizik in pchas nevela, in the how much it goes down, that's a stringent payment that tam's going to have more severe than mu'ud, because by mu'ud, the pasuk says clearly, as we darshan, that v'mesi aloi, the nizik has the loss of the depreciation of nevela. How can you say tam's more chomer than that? So Elam Abriechen, rather Abriechen says a different interpretation, not like Rava. Actually, it's shvach nevela ikabinayu. The difference between your main and Rabbi Huda is not regarding pchas nevela, it's actually the shvach. If it increases in value after the damage up until when it's sold. As the Gemara explains, the Marsavar, the Nizikavar, the Meir holds that the value of the increase all goes to the Nizik. Because yes, as we explained before, Rameir holds that the Mazik has no partnership rights. It is Vahamesi Eloi. The Nizik is the one that holds on to it. But not as in regards to the loss, but actually in regards to the increase. In regards to the increase, he says that the Nizik has it, and the Mazik doesn't share in the increase in value. Mar Savar Palga, and Rabbi Huda says that no. So actually doing a better for the Mazik, not worse. Regarding Pchas would be worse. Regarding increase, that we say that he has a partnership, that they split the dead one. Now that it went up in value, that's a leniency that we have regarding the when it's the owner of a Shor Mazik that's only a Tam, and then he does split half of the increase that it goes up. The Gemara says, based on this interpretation of Rabbi Yechanan, now we understand v'hainu de kokash le'Rabbi Huda. Now we understand what the Gemara is going to shortly quote from a Braisa, that Rabbi Huda says a certain statement, based on what Rabbi Yechanan said, we could understand what he had said. Because, hashta de amrit chas rachmana ilavei de mazik, de shakal b'shevcha, now that Rabbi Yechanan just interpreted Rabbi Huda's opinion, and that the Torah was lenient regarding the owner of a shor mazik when it's a tam, that he takes half of the increase of the dead animal carcass if it goes up in price. Now we could understand now the words that Rabbi Huda had said in the following price. Because Rabbi Huda said as follows. He said, Yachal, you would think, Shar Shava Chamish Lam, if you have an ox that's worth 5 slum, which is 20 zuz, Shanagach Shar Shava Mana, that Gordon ox that was worth a mana, which is 100 zuz. So this is going the other way from the previous price we discussed, which was going a greater one, going a lower one, which we had a discussion regarding him saying, I can't say he's splitting it because then the Nizik is gonna get more than how much he was damaged. This price is actually going in the reverse way. And it's based on this interpretation of Rabbi Yechanan, which is when the one that gored was worth less than the one that got gored. And it's using the Svara the other way now, regarding that the Mazik would be gaining more than paying if he's splitting the amount of the dead one. So again, those are the two variables we want to keep in mind, which is Rabbi Huda's opinion. He split both the live one and the dead one. So it's the one that's goring is worth only 20 zuz. The one that gored was worth 100 zuz. Fanevela yofa chamishim zuz. And now the nevela is only worth 50 zuz. So says Rabbi Huda, you would think, as I said, the halacha is, that they would split each one, the mazik and the nizik, would split half the live one and half the dead one. Now, what the Gemara is coming to say is, based on Rabbi Yechanan's interpretation, this that Rabbi Huda says, Yachol, you would think, is because what was bothering him was, specifically what Rabbi Yechanan just explained. Since Rabbi Huda holds that the Torah was lenient regarding the Mazik, that he takes in the Shvach, in the increase in the value of the Nizik, which means say that he has rights in the dead animal. So you would think that when you have an ox that's worth 5 slum, that gore is an ox worth 100, and the nevela is worth 50, then now the mazik would take half of the injured ox, which that would be 2.5 slum. And meaning from the live one, from his own measly ox that's only worth 5 slum. But he would get also half of the dead one, which would be 6.25 slum, which that's worth even more than his ox. And therefore, although he has to pay half of his animal, so what he's losing just 2.5 slum, and he's gaining the 6.25 and 2.5 of his and of the Nizik's ox. So that rebuke says, no, Amarta, you're going to say as follows. Heichen mitzinu mazik nisker sheze nisker. Where do you ever say such a thing? That a damager gains, that this guy's gaining, this guy's not even losing, he's actually gaining. In other words, he's losing, what you could only collect from the ox itself. But the way Reb Huda described the case, he's only losing 2.5 from his ox, and he's gaining way more than he's actually paying. Now, what's being addressed over here is that although Reb Huda did say before that the mazik does take in the shvach of the nizik, but what Reb Huda is coming to explain is, but that's still where he's paying the half the damages. It's just that where he's losing 75 of his living one in the way that Reb Huda described the case, when each one was worth 200, and then it was damaged down to a value of 50, so the damage was 150, he has to give half of that, which is 75. He already paid 75. So then, but when the dead animal, which is worth 50, goes up in value, Sester Buda says that, okay, fine, that value of half the rights in the nevela, he'll share with him, but he already paid Chatzin Nezik. But the case that we're describing here, says Buda, he's not losing anything, he's not paying anything, he's actually just taking instead of giving. So that's what Buda says, you can't say that. Where do you ever find that a mazik that gains instead of losing, where in this case he'd be gaining? Moreover, says Buda, the pasuk says, shalim yishalim. When it talks about over there, when the shar, kishar nagahu, it says that he has to pay. Now, Rashi points out, although that pasuk is talking about the shar hamud, and we're discussing over here shar tam, but since it says two times the word shalim yishalim, it tells you regarding two payments, one regarding a tam, and one regarding a mu'ud, to tell you that no, bailim yishalim, which those bailim are the psukim of the bailim in that pasuk of the shar hamazik, the pasuk says he has to pay. Vein bailim noitlim. The owner of the mazik doesn't take anything. And if you would describe the pasuk of always splitting half and half, in all cases, no matter how much the mazik is worth, how much the nizik is worth, then he'd actually be gaining. He wouldn't be paying, he would be taking, and that's not feasible. And again, rather, as we explained, Oman Alf, he says in a certain specific case where it's going to come out to actually chatzin nezik, that's when you split half the live one, half the dead one. But again, now we understand at least what he was forewarning, that you would have entertained to say that the mazik does gain. How does he gain? Because he gets the increase of the value of the nizik. He has shares in it, like Rabbi Yechonah described his opinion of shvach, of the nevela, that the mazik has rights in that. Now the Gemara asks, however, in this brisa that we just quoted, which we said it supports Rabbi Yochanan's halacha, Maiva Omer, why after he said a svar of, where do we ever find that a mazik gains that this guy gains? And he said, moreover, the pasuk says, V'yomer, it says, Shalom Yishalom. What's it coming to boost his svar with the pasuk? So the Gemara explains, because if you're going to say, Hanamili, when did we say this, that a mazik doesn't gain, he damaged, and he's going to walk away with more money than instead of paying? Maybe I would say that's only Heched de Ikab Seyde le Nizik, where that's going to cause a loss to the Nizik, as in the case that was described there in that price. Aval Heched de Ikab Seyde le Nizik, but when it wouldn't be a loss for the Nizik, what would that be? For example, the following case. Let's say you have a Sher Shav HaChamish Lam, an ox that's worth 5 slum. Shenagach Sher Shav HaChamish Lam, that also gores an ox worth 5 slum, which is each one's worth 20 zuz. Van the Vela Yafa Shleshim Zuz, and the dead animal's worth 30 zuz. In other words, that from the time that it was gored, from the time that it died, actually the dead animal went up in price, another 10 zuz. So you would think, shalkal nami mazik b'shivcha, that the mazik would also take in the increase of the value of the dead animal. In other words, he would take 5 out of those 10 zuz that it went up in price. Because in this case, that's not causing it, the nizik's not losing anything, because actually his animal was originally worth only 20. And now that it went up to 30 after it died, he's actually gaining another 5, even if the mazik takes 5. So you would think in such a case where maybe there the mazik would gain and not lose, because maybe we'd only say that he doesn't gain when the nizik is losing. In this case we're describing now, the nizik's not either losing. And that is why Rebbe Yehuda says, that's the pasuk says, no, shalim yishalim, pay he shall surely pay, which tells us, by le mishalman. the owner of the Shaar Mazik, your halacha of having shares of rights are that at least you're paying. Yes, if you paid the Chatzi Nezik, as in the case of Yehuda described according to the interpretation of Yechanan, then okay, in the Nevela you could have shares if it goes up in price. But Ve'im Bailam Noitlan, a Mazik cannot be taking. It can't be at the end of the day when you're doing the books, seeing that actually the Mazik's not paying anything, he's actually taking. That's not feasible. The Pasuk tells you that's not the case, and therefore he had to bring the Ma'imah to tell you even when the Nizik's not losing, the Mazik can't be walking away taking and not giving. Now going back to this primary machlekes that we're discussing over here, of Rav Meir and Rav Yehuda, the Gemara says, Amalei Rav Acha bar Tachlifa l'Rava. It says, Im kein, if that's the case, that Rav Yehuda does not expound the Pasuk as Rav Meir did, of when it talks about that the words that of splitting the dead animal, which Rav Meir had interpreted to mean to say, not that the Mazik splits the dead animal, I have nothing to do with dead animal. That's your department. You could hold on to your dead animal. I'll just give you the difference and half of that. But Rav Yehuda had said that, it's coming to say that, yeah, they split the dead animal, and therefore the Mazik has shears in it, as we said regarding the Shvach of the Nevela. But then the difficulty is, if he's not darshan that pasuk like Rav Meir regarding, which Rav Meir had said, actually that pasuk is the source of the halacha of Chatzi Nezek. When it says that the dead animal they split, it means to say half of what the animal had lost in its death is what split in the living animal. So Metzino comes out, if he's not learning the pasuk that way, Rav Yehuda, so Metzino Rav Yehuda comes out contra Rav Yehuda, that Tam Hashalom Yesim Chatzi Nezek, that a Tam would be paying more than half the damages. Now, how would that be talking about? For example, if there's an ox that's worth 50, the Gordon ox worth 40, and the dead animal is now worth 20, so that means to say the damage is 20. Half of that damage, which Chatzi Nezik, is 10. Now, but according to Behuda, that they split half the living one, half the dead one, so it comes out that the Nezik is going to be taking 25 from the living one, because that's half of 50. And then the dead one, which is worth 20, is going to be taking 10. 25 plus 10 is 35. So it comes out that the Mazik is going to be paying more than Chatzi Nezik, because Chatzi Nezik was only 10, and here he's actually walking away with 35. Now, as Rashi explains, according to a mayor that says that he learns the pasuk that you only pay half of what the dead animal had lost, so that makes sense that he's only going to give Chatzi Nezik. But according to Yehuda, although we proved earlier up on this amud that where the Chatzi Nezik would come out to be more than how much the damage was the whole Nezik Shalim, so that we said that it can't be that the Nezik is going to be taking from more than half of the, he can't be taking half of the living one, which is going to be more than the damages, as we said, it's Kabbal Chaimer from Mu'ud. As we said, because of Mu'ud, that's stringent. The Mazik only pays Kamash Hezik how much the damage was. So like we said, Tamakal, Rabbi Huda says, Loikolshkin, it can't be that the Nizik is going to be collecting from the Mazik, which is his animal, the Mazik's animal, to say half the live one is worth way more than his Nizik was. It's not possible he's going to collect half that living one, which is even more than the damages itself. As we said, 12 and a half slum. But here in this case, you can't say that Kavol Chaimer. Because here, the way we're describing it is that the Nizik is going to be taking less than how much the damage was. It's going to be less than the Mu'ud, but it's still going to be more than half the Nezik. And that's the difficulty, says the Gemara, is about Tayyar Amr. But the Torah says in Shemoyis, U'machres ashar hacha, you split the living animal, v'chatzu es kasba, and you split half the money. Now, Taisa says, although this pasuk doesn't say clearly, but it's well assumed that everyone agrees that there is a halach of Chatzi Nezik. But how do we have now a source for Rabbi Yehuda of Chatzi Nezik if he doesn't learn the pasuk the way Reb Meir does? So you don't really have any source. You only have a source for splitting half the live one and half the dead one. And although we know it can't be more than Nezik Shalom, but it would seemingly be more than Chatzi Nezik. So now the Gemara answers, no, Islay Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda does hold that Pchasha, Pchisa, Misa, he holds that of this source of the halacha from Sukkim, just like Reb Meir does, for the amount of the diminishment of depreciation of the death, is what's mechsin b'chai, is what you split it in the living one. Now the Gemara asks Menale, where does he know this halacha from? So mevegam es ameis yechtsin, from how Reb Meir had said it. From that, also the dead one, they split it. Doesn't mean necessarily splitting the dead animal. It means that what the loss of the dead one is split, meaning chatzi of the nezek, and that's collected from the living one. Not the Gemara, but Va'afker Rabbi Yehuda, but Rabbi Yehuda already used that pasuk, and that's why we had the question in the first place, for his own drasha, which he said, L'zen noitel chatzei achai v'chatzei ameis, v'zen noitel chatzei achai v'chatzei ameis. It's coming to tell us, not that the value of it is half and then that's what he collects from the living one. No, it's that the Mazik and the Nizik both split the living one and split the dead one. So how can you say it's telling us that other halacha of Remeir? So I think my answer is Im Kain, if it was only telling us Remeir's halacha of for the value of that it lost in death, then you give half of that which is collected from the body of the Shara Mazik, then Nichtiv Kra Ve'es HaMeis. Then the Torah should have only written, and the dead one is Yachtsun, which would tell us that half of the dead, half of the loss that we had through death, is what's collected from the living one. My Vagam, what's the word, and also, which is a Lashon Riboy, it's coming to include something. Shemam Notarti, that teaches us a second halacha. Moreover, that, yes, actually, it's the Mazik that splits the dead one with the Nizik. Which again, as we explained from Mabiyach, and it comes to teach us that the Mazik is a partner, at least in the increase in the value of the Shahar Nizik, of the Nevela, which is Shvach Nevela, is not just of the Nizik, it's also the Mazik, again, not regarding Pchas, there everyone agrees that's going to be a loss of the Nizik, because the Shahar Mazik can't be more severe by Tam than it is by Mu'ud. But regarding Shevach the Nizik, that's Rabbi Yehuda learns a Pasik for these two halachas, that of Remeir, and also his from the extra word from Begam. Now the Gemara continues with the next Mishnah, okay, continuing on these themes regarding Shar HaMazik. So the Mishnah tells us, Yesh Chayv HaMaisa Shairoi, Upata Maisa Atzmai. There are situations where, for whatever it was that was damaged, that regarding the action of his ox, he could be liable, and yet if he did the same thing, he would be exempt. And you also have the reverse. You could have Pata HaMaisa Shairoi, you could have that if his ox had done it, he would be exempt. V'Chayv HaMaisa Atzmai, but if he himself did it, he would be liable. So the Mishnah explains Ketzat. What are these cases talking about? So the Mishnah says, for example, let's say Shari Shabayish, Pater. If his ox embarrasses somebody, then the owner of the ox is exempt. As the Gemara tells us on the Chavav Med Aleph, it says in the Pasuk, it says Ishba Misai, regarding the liability of the Dalad Varm, what a man does to his friend, but regarding if his ox does to his friend, that he's not liable for embarrassing his friend. But Vahu Shabayish Chayiv, if he embarrassed his friend, then he would be liable. So to another case of the Reishis, Shari Shesimias Ein Avdoi V'Hippol Eshinoi. If his ox blinds the eye of a slave or knocks his tooth out, so Pater, so the owner is exempt, it's he didn't do it to his slave, and therefore his slave's not going free. But if he blinds his slave's eye or knocks his tooth out, then he is going to be liable. That's the Reisha. Then the second case of the Mishnah is the other way around. If his ox inflicts a wound in his father or his mother, he's liable for his money, for his shari that was mazik in his parents, and he's liable for that payment. But v'hu shechava ba'av v'imay pater. But if he inflicts a wound in his father and his mother, he's exempt, as the Mishnah will shortly explain. So too, another case, shari shehidlik as a gadish b'Shabbos chayiv. If his ox lights a person's pile of grain on fire on Shabbos, so the owner is going to be liable, as Rashi explains, chatzi nezik, because it's mishunah, it's abnormal, but it's Karen, something that's not normal, but he'll be chayv chatzi nezik. But if he burns someone else's pile of grain on Shabbos, he's actually going to be exempt from the liability. What's the reason for these two halachas that he's pater and the shari, if did it, would be chayv? First, his shari is chayv because it's a shari shemazik that he's chayv for the liabilities. But if he does it, this is the halacha what's known as kimle b'dirab minei, that you can't get two punishments, you only get the greater punishment, since he's chayiv misa for burning something on Shabbos, which is a malacha, and for injuring his parents, which is a chayiv misa in the Torah, so that's why he's going to be chayiv misa, that's why he's not going to be liable for the payments, so he's going to be putter because of kimla b'ramene, whereas if a shor did it, it would be chayiv. So again, sometimes you could have what he does is chayiv and his ox does is putter, and sometimes you could have what his ox does is chayiv, and what he does would be putter.